بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اٹ از 21st of December 2013. آئی وانٹ ٹو شیئر ون آف مائی ایکسپیرئنس دیٹ ہیپنڈ ٹوڈے. ٹوڈے آئی واز لسننگ آل انڈیا ریڈیو. There was a commentary regarding sports. During his commentary, the commentator said as a casual statement that it was regarding outdoor games. So the commentator said that every outdoor games has an age limit. Every player has to follow this age limit. After this limit, he becomes inefficient in his game, and that age limit is approximately 30 years. This triggered my mind. I said to myself that there are age limits of in every profession, like business, like jobs, like government services, etc. In every profession, there are age limits. After this age limits, one becomes inefficient. He becomes unable to perform in a good manner. But there is an exception, and that exception is spirituality. In spirituality, there is no age limit. One who is engaged in spirituality, in true sense of the word, he is like a evergreen garden. Every day he is able to develop his personality up to the last day of his age. So it is very unique difference between the spiritual discipline and another discipline. Then, if you believe in world hereafter or in paradise, then your spirituality continues up to the eternity. Not only in this world. In this world, you know, everyone has to die after 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. But one who believes in world hereafter or in paradise, his spirituality continues forever. It is very, very strange. Then, what is spirituality? Spirituality is not a very easy game. It's very difficult game. Very, very difficult. It requires a kind of detached thinking. You live in a world that is not a spiritual world. It's a material world. But you have to detach yourself, your thinking, and you must prove yourself a thinker that can think regardless your environment. I will give you an example. One day I was listening BBC London. It's a Hindi program. In Hindi program, he referred a letter the commentator received from a man living in Mauritius. He complained that Mauritius is a country where half of the population are Hindu immigrants, and there are about 12% Hindi speaking people, but you never broadcast any news from Mauritius. The commentator said, replied with a smile, that you know, media is an industry of bad news. In Mauritius, there is always good news. So we have nothing to do broadcast. If you create some bad news, like bomb explosion, or any sensational event, then we certainly will broadcast your news. This is not only about media. In every discipline, there are mixed news. Any, even if you read a book always reflect the mind of its author. So every book represents some subjective way of thinking. So media or books or any meeting, all those places or all those items that you face are full of subjectivity, full of incomplete reporting, not only media. So you have to develop a kind of detached thinking, or what I may call big bird thinking. Then you are able to have spiritual food from this world and develop your personality on spiritual lines. Otherwise, it is impossible. I remind a proverb. It goes, big bird of the storm. This proverb has a background. When there is a wind storm, there are many birds in that environment, because you know birds have no home. They are living in open place. So, but there are two kinds of birds. Birds with small wing and birds with strong wing. So those birds that have small wings, they become victim of that wind storm and die. But those birds that have strong wing, they manage to escape from that storm. They fly above and above and above until they reach beyond that storm. You know, wind storm have a limit. Maximum limit is up to 100 feet. And every wind storm goes only up to 100 feet. And these wings that have strong, these birds that have strong wings, they can go beyond this limit. So they manage to escape from this wind. So is the case of a spiritual person. I have kind of turned from this event. That is big bird thinking. If you want to develop a spiritual personality, then you have to prove yourself a big bird thinker. Otherwise, it is impossible. Then, spirituality, then there are two kinds of spirituality. It is not very clear term. If you consult the dictionary or you study the encyclopedia, you will be confused because there are two kinds of spirituality and people fail to differentiate between the two items, two kinds of spirituality. Any mind-based spirituality and heart-based spirituality. So, in the history, people have adopted that kind of spirituality that is heart-based. All the spiritual person, any Muslim or non-Muslim, both, have adopted that kind of spirituality that is heart-based. As there is nothing in heart, in your heart. Heart is simply a source of blood circulation. Heart has no capacity to think. Thinking, it is your mind that has the capacity to think. So, those people who wanted to extract spirituality from their heart, they gave nothing. This is the reason why all those people failed to give any clear-cut definition of spirituality. A jungle of ambiguity. If you read those spiritual literature, you will find that it contains a jungle of spirituality. Nothing is clear. I have discovered that spirituality is a mind-based discipline. Mind-based discipline. To have spirituality or to achieve spirituality, you have to train your mind, you have to develop your mind. And the basic thing is that we are living in a material world. All the whole environment is material. So we are living in a material world. So we have to develop that kind of capacity which is able to extract spiritual content from the material items. You every day face material experience. But if you have developed that kind of capacity, then you are able to extract spiritual content from material items. Then, according to my definition, spirituality is a divine discipline. I am not confused about this. Spirituality is nothing but what is called in the Quran, Ar-Rabbaniya. Ar-Rabbaniya. That is Rab-oriented thinking. It is Rab-oriented thinking that is spirituality. So, according to my experience, you have to extract Rabbani item or divine item from every experience. Then you can live as a spiritual person. For example, I will explain it from an example. Let us take this room. In this room, when I entered this room today, by the evening, there was dark. Because, you know, it is everywhere there are dense fog. Due to dense fog, there was darkness in my room. Then I touched a button and there was light. I said that the Creator was so intelligent, so merciful, that when He created this world and when He created solar system, He was aware that in the night there will be darkness, and also when there is a fog, there will be darkness. So He wanted to help, He wanted to give help to man, and He created some special properties in matter. Special properties. You know what is electricity? It is said that electricity means full of electron. When there is a magnetic field and there is a motion, it is bound to flow the electrons. So it is this electron that produces electricity. So God Almighty created this property in matters so that man may find light in the night and other darkness. So I discovered the merciful nature of God. I discovered the blessing of God. I discovered that God is so kind to man that He has given us light without asking. We never asked. Then this thought came in my mind that according to the passport, I was born on January 1st, 1925. It means that on December 1st, January, on December 1st, 1924, I was a non-existent. There was no existence of myself. So how I came into existence? I was non-existence before 1 month. Then I came to existence after 1 month. So I discovered God Almighty, the Creator. That there is a Creator who created me, and although I have no, I never asked, I never applied, because at that time there was no existence of myself. So all these items are for me spiritual items. When you are able to extract divine, extract divine meaning from the material things, material events, then you are a spiritual person. So spirituality, according to my definition, is a divine discipline. It is marifa. It is ar-rabbaniya. And I can say that man is nothing. God is everything. Creator is everything. So all those things that we need, either material or spiritual, are supplied by God. All those materials, all those items. So when we discover this this aspect of our life, this aspect of our world, then we discover God. Then we develop love of God. Then we discover that God must be our greatest concern. It is this discovery that is source of spirituality. So spirituality is an item of discovery. Without discovery, there is no spirituality. Spirituality is not a technical subject. Just like engineering. If you want to be an engineer, you seek admit in an engineering college, and after completing the course, you are given a certificate that you are an engineer. So by completion of such course, you are called engineer. But in spirituality, there is no such course. There is no such kind of college where you can find a training of spirituality. Spirituality is a self-discovered item. No institution, no college can give you spirituality. You have to develop your mind. You have to develop you as a big bird thinker. You have to develop you as a person who has the what I call detached thinking, living in the material world, but at the same time you have ability to detach from all those things. So you have to develop this kind of sagacity, which I call detached thinking, then you can develop spirituality. So spirituality is a self-discovered item. And I would say that it is discovery that can give you a thrilling experience. If discovery was a technical item, then there was no thrilling experience. When discovery is when spirituality is an item of discovery, then it gives you thrill, and thrill is an integral part of spirituality. Thrilling experience is an integral part of spirituality. Then I would say that according to my definition, it is it is this spirituality that enable you to be a deserving candidate for paradise. Paradise is an abode. Paradise is a very nice world, very fine world, where spiritual persons will find entry. Every person who find entry into paradise will be a spiritual person. Now what is according to, if I use the Quranic term, I would say that muzakka persons. In Quranic term, it is muzakka persons, and only muzakka persons will find entry to paradise. But if I were to use a different term, some other term, I would say that only a spiritual person will find entry to paradise. So, present world is a place where we can develop our spirituality. Spirituality is not an external gift. No one can give you spirituality as a gift. It is impossible. You have to discover it on your own. You have to develop your personality on your own. It is totally a self-discipline. No other person can provide you help. No institution, no university can give you a degree of spirituality. Spirituality is not a degree item. No, not at all. Spirituality is a very, very high discipline. Very, very high kind of discipline. A high kind of thinking. If you develop yourself that high kind of thinking, then it is possible to have a spiritual personality. So, and the other point is that spirituality alone can give you peace of mind. You know, everyone wants to live in with peace of mind. Everyone wants an art of de-stressing. Everyone asks that how to have a tension-free life. According to my experience, the only answer is spirituality. And how spirituality gives you a tension-free mind. A Persian Sufi has rightly said that Sapurdam Batu Mayai Khesra. Sapurdam Batu Mayai Khesra. It means that I have left all my problems to you. I have left all my problems to you or to God. So this is the only answer. If you are able to discover the importance of this formula, and you are able to leave everything upon God, then you are able to live as a tension-free person and with a peace of mind. So this is my today's experience, and I pray God, may God help us to attain this spirituality. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Manana, you said that spirituality cannot be gifted to anyone. You have to realize, you have to discover the spirituality. And then, Maulana, you spoke about the fact that for de-stressing oneself, The only formula is that you surrender to God or you trust in God. That is the only way you can de-stress. But Maulana, sometimes what happens is that when the person says that, okay, I am stressed and I will think now that I will trust in God and I will surrender to God. But still, Maulana, the mind does not get light. The stress is still there. So, what is the reason for it, Maulana?
I think that reason is very simple. Those people, although utter these words, but it is like lip service. You have to train your mind. You have to develop your mind. Simply saying some words from your mouth, that will not suffice. So, if you have a trained mind, then you can adopt this formula. If you are not a trained mind, then you will live in confusion. After saying these words, you will you will live in that situation because your mind is because you are living in confusion. So first of all, you have to decondition your mind first of all to make you free from confusion, and first of all you have to prepare your mind. Then you can utilize this formula. Otherwise not. It is not simply uttering some words. It requires a trained mind.
Maulana, in the past also, in many classes, you've always stressed on the fact that one has to avoid distractions in order to become more focused and in order to pursue the spiritual path. But Maulana, other than that, can you share some more things that an individual must do to train the mind and be more focused on spirituality and more focused on God?
You have mentioned that one should avoid distraction to focus one's
to focus the energy on spirituality.
So he wants to know from you that besides that, besides the distraction part that you mentioned, is there anything that one needs to do to train his or her mind towards God, God-oriented life?
I think that the greatest thing that we have discovered, that in this world we have only two options. There is no third option. World was not created by us. It was created by some other being, some other creator. So, we have no option other than to follow the law of nature. So, according to law of nature, we have only two options. There is no third option. That is, either to ruin ourselves, or to save ourselves. There is no third option. Either to destroy ourselves or to save ourselves. If you are ready to accept the creation plan of God, if you are ready to accept the law of nature, then it is very easy to develop attention-filled mind. But when you want to live in the world according to your own mind, and you deny to the creator's plan, then you fell into distress. Is it clear? I am saying that we have either to live according to the creation plan of God or according to our own mind. If we try to live according to our own mind, then we will destroy ourselves. Because that will lead to stress. But when we accept the fact that we have no option other than to accept the creation plan of God, then instantly we can develop a peace in our mind. Is it clear?
Clear, Ramana. Yes, it is clear.
Repeat,
Kiji. Ramana, what you are saying is that a person has only two options. There is no third option. And the two options are that either the person destroys himself or he saves himself. And if he saves, if he takes the option of saving...
If you want to follow your own agenda, your own agenda, then you will destroy yourself. But if you are ready to follow the divine agenda, then you will save yourself. There is no third option. These are the two options. So it is wisdom. It is wisdom to follow the divine agenda and not to follow your own agenda. Is it clear?
It is clear.
I have no other option. Except two options, there is no other option. There is a well-known saying that compete or perish. So either follow the divine agenda or destroy yourself. If you follow the divine agenda, then you will save yourself. All those fears are baseless. All those fears by referring those fears, you deny to follow the divine agenda, that's baseless. They're simply false fears. That's false fears. So I would say, according to my experience, that if you follow the divine agenda, then that is only way to save yourself. And all those fears are false fears, which comes in the way.
I just want to share my experience. Sometimes there are problems there. And everyone has his own phases of tension and problems and troubles. But then we have to take a decision. Usually we don't take a decision. We are not determined that we have to solve this problem. And once you take a decision, then God comes into the picture and He takes care of everything. The moment we take a decision that I am not going to be troubled by this problem, this is the problem, it is, we are leaving it to God. Then in my experience, I have seen that immediately I feel relaxed as if God has taken care of my problems.
Kaka?
Rana, aapa ye keh rahe ki lot of time when a person faces a problem or a difficulty or a stress, it is also because the person is not able to take a decision. So she is saying that from my experience, whenever one has taken or I have taken a decision, then God comes to help the person. So it is very important that the person is determined and he or she takes a decision, and then suddenly God comes for the help.
She is right. All those fears are false fears.
Maulana, when I heard of my father's death, I rang you up and you said only one thing, take it as God's command. And I put everything in God's corner after that. And I till today have been stress free. So this is a really true formula.
Mulana Nagma Appa is saying that when her father passed away, she rang you up and asked for your advice. So you told her to trust in God.
To take it as
God's command. And she said that since that point till now, she is completely stress-free.
It's a very, very good example. Very good example.
Mulana, I would like to ask a question, and that is that most of us here who are in this room are somewhat prepared minds. We can understand what you mean by detachment. But when we talk to people who are unprepared, it is very difficult for us to explain to them how to detach themselves from the work which they are doing. Because they are, for 8 to 10 hours every day, they are working and they are in the consumer world. So what formula should we tell them? That you have given us a formula that one man, one mission, or one man, two mission. But they say that for 8 to 10 hours, when we are in the commercial world, it becomes very difficult for us to detach. So how should that be done?
Mulana, what Navdeep has asked you a question. He's saying that in this room, all the people are prepared mind. So they know what you are saying, and they know what detachment is all about. But when we go out in the world and interact with people, especially those people who are working 8 to 10 hours in a day, and they are not prepared. So they say that we work for 8 to 10 hours. They do not understand this detachment. They are living in a material world. So
though they agree with this,
but like all of us are one man, two mission. But for them it is consumerism and their work. So how do we address them?
I would say that simply agreement is not enough. You have to change your lifestyle. Without changing lifestyle, agreement is nothing. So the question is that it is a question of whether you are ready to accept the reality or not. Because everyone will die. All those wealth, and everyone is busy in accumulating wealth. But everyone knows after some years he will leave all those wealth and will die. So you have to accept this reality that we cannot live on our own. The world was not created by us, so it is not possible for us to live in this world according to our own agenda. So, if you accept this reality, then it is not difficult to change your lifestyle. Without changing the lifestyle, no one can have the peace of mind and no one can follow this agenda. So, all the question, the process begins from changing your lifestyle. Here is the starting point. For example, I have changed my lifestyle. I opted this formula, simple living, high thinking. Then there is no problem for me. So you have to adopt this formula. For example, all those people who are acquiring wealth, what is the purpose of this wealth? Only shopping, and expending the money lavishly in marriage, in party. What is the purpose of this wealth? So I have adopted a very practical formula: simple living, high thinking. So anyone who wants to have a peaceful mind, he must change his lifestyle. Otherwise, there is no other formula. No other formula.
In Afghanistan, there are many, many wedding halls lined upon the roads and big wedding halls. So it was said that weddings are attended by 4,000, 5,000 people. So that is why they have such big wedding halls. Even our program was held in one wedding hall. So how much they must be spending on the weddings?
The only idea they have adopted that any earn more and money and waste more and more in wedding and in party. This is not a good way of living. So if you want to have a peaceful mind, then you have to change your lifestyle. Otherwise it is impossible.
Mulana, you said that we have to live by the creation plan of God, or in this way we'll save ourselves or we'll perish. And you also said we have to become big bird thinkers. So does that mean, my understanding is that to follow the creation plan, you have to have high thinking, because you have to rise above the negative or rise above the desires. Is my understanding right?
Nagma Pai is saying that you mentioned that one has to agree to the creation plan of God, and then only one can save oneself or the person will perish. And you also spoke about having a thinking like big bird. One should have a big bird thinking. So she is saying that what she has discovered is that to rise above the desire and negativity is what high thinking is all about, and big bird thinking. So is she correct in thinking this way?
Yes, she is correct. But I would say this in different word. People think in terms of desire. They follow their desire. But you have to see the result. All those people who followed their desire, what was the result? What was the result? Any result was the disease, accident, tension. I don't know any person who followed his desire and he attained the peace of mind. So what is the purpose of this lifestyle? You follow your desire, you try to earn more and more money. You have to see things in terms of result. This is my point. You have to see things in terms of result. You have to be realistic. You have to accept the reality. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Repeat kijiye.
You are saying that all those people who run after the desire, they either die in disease or in tension or in stress. So the principle, the guiding principle is, then one must look at the result. And people who follow their desires, they have not achieved anything in life except tension and stress. So peace of mind is a much bigger thing.
So my formula is based on reality.
Ji.
It is a realistic approach. I would say that my formula, in other words, it is a realistic approach.
So your, Malana, so what you are saying is your formula of simple living and high thinking is a realistic approach.
There is no other option for us. So it is an acceptance of reality.
Marana, when we talk to people about spirituality, they often say that, what you just mentioned, that it results in stress or disease and death later. And it's often said that when this has to happen, then why not enjoy life now? Why bother about spirituality? This is one. The other thing which is often said also is that spirituality makes us complacent, because we would end up not following our desires and not becoming what we want to be. So how should we address such minds who would not be willing to see the perspective of mind-based spirituality?
Razia has asked you a question. She's saying that when we talk about spirituality to people, they say that what you've mentioned, that in the end, either a person will get a disease or the person will die. So when all these problems have to happen, why should I not enjoy life now? So they want to enjoy life. And secondly, what she said was that when you follow spirituality, you tend to become complacent in life because you don't want to follow the desires. So this slows down a person's progress. So therefore, spirituality makes a person complacent. So she is saying, how do we address these concerns?
According to my experience, this formula is not a workable formula. Simply, it will not work. All those people who wanted to enjoy life, find out what they achieved in the end. I met a person who is living in USA, said that in USA, people earn money, then they go fighting for outing at the weekend. Yeah? There's a formula that earn money and go to outing in the weekend. But what happened? Only to make them stress-free. They adopted this formula to make them stress-free. But what happened? They went out to some places to make them stress-free, but they returned with another stress. So there is a new term, holiday stress. And holiday only led to new kind of stress. So those people who talk in terms of enjoyment, they cannot refer the positive result. Everyone who is engaged in this culture, in the last, he fell in a new kind of tension. It is my experience. Aap isko elaborate.
Maulana, you mentioned that you spoken with someone in the USA, and there they adopted this formula that earn a lot of money, and then in the weekend they would go and spend to de-stress themselves. But what the result was that most of these people, when they went to de-stress themselves on the weekend, they returned more stressed. So there was a new term that got coined, holiday stress. So contrary to what people thought, that more money would mean more enjoyment and less stress, what actually happened was that they gained more stress. So it is contrary to what people generally believe.
So my point is again that you have to see the result. In terms of result, there is nothing. All these program, all these activities, in the end have nothing, in terms of result.
Maulana, she also had a second part to the question that people think that spirituality makes a person complacent because the person would not follow then the desire. So how do we address that question of people?
I think that I will repeat again that these people are not seeing the result. They utter some words without thinking what will the result. They want to enjoy the present. But those who enjoyed the present, what happened in the future? So I don't know any person who was successful in terms of result. All those people talk only in terms of present. They are not ready to talk in the terms of future. So what is the result? Why you spend so much money? Why you spend so much energy when the result is disease and tension free and living in tension? See myself, I adopted this lifestyle. I have no such desires except bare needs. So I'm totally I live in peace of mind. I think that the problem is that people fail to set their goal. My goal is living with a peaceful mind. My goal is to live with peaceful mind, tension-free mind. This is my goal. But those people fail to set this kind of goal. So they are in confusion. In fact, they are living in confusion. All these people are living in confusion. They fail to set their goal in positive terms. Aap repeat kijiye isko.
Rana, what you've said is that one must see the result. Most of these people, the goal that they set is not correct. For example, from your own experience, you said that your goal is peace of mind and your needs are very minimal, and therefore you have been able to attain the peace of mind. Because these people do not know what the real goal is, they live in confusion, and therefore they are always in stress and in tension. So the important thing that one must look at is setting of one's goal and putting the needs to bare minimum. So once we are able to minimize our needs, then we will have peace of mind and we'll be stress free.
I want to know whether belief in God is essential to become a spiritual person.
Mulana, what Maria is asking you is that is belief in God essential to become a spiritual person?
I think it is necessary. It is also acceptance of reality. Because God is everything. All those beliefs come from God. We cannot create a single particle. We cannot create anything. So all those things that we need comes from God. So if you are not ready to believe in God, then it means that we are living in confusion. The only alternative to live in confusion. When it is a fact, that God is the creator, He is the source of all things, He is the source of all kinds of blessing, then how can we attain our required things without God? That is against the reality. So when we believe in God, we only accept the reality. When we believe in God, we only accept the reality. Aap isko repeat kijiye.
Mulana, you are saying, yes, the belief in God is essential to become a spiritual person, because when we believe in God, we are only accepting the reality. The fact is that God has created everything. So, when we take all the elements of the creation, when we accept those things, then we are only reposing our trust in God. We are accepting that reality.
When anything happens which we don't like, or we are not able to accept something, something unpleasant happens, so we think this situation could have been changed, or we blame it on human beings, someone or the other, that they are the reason, cause of this problem. So I think this attitude is wrong. We must take everything as coming from God. If something good happens, it is from God. If something bad happens, it's not, in essence, it is not bad. We think that it is bad. It might be good, but we are not, because of our limited vision, we are not able to understand. In future, we think that what happened was good. Everything is God's decision. We should accept everything as God's decision, whether we think it's good or bad, it is God's decision. So that is that this total trust in God makes one accept everything as it comes to us. This, I think, makes one relaxed, tension-free. That everything, the world has been created by God, I have been created by God, so God's decision will alone prevail. So, and we have to adjust with God's decision. We have to learn to adjust with God's decision. And I think herein lies the secret of tension-free life.
Mulana, what Apa is saying, that whenever anything unpleasant happens or something that a person does not like, then the person either blames others, or he thinks that if that person would have done a thing differently, then the result would have been different. So what she's saying is that one has to accept whether good or bad is coming from God. And if the person trusts in God, if the person puts his or her trust in God and accepts whatever that comes his or her way, then peace prevails, and then the person is able to live in peace. So later, and also Mulana, later a person realizes that whatever that happened was for good in future. So at that point of time, the person should accept that thing as coming from God, whether good or bad.
She's right. Exactly this fabula was given by Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali said that Al-Khairu Fima Waqa. It is exactly the same formula. Al-Khairu Fima Waqa means what happened for my betterment. So if you adopt this formula, what happened for my betterment, then you can live as a tension-free person in every situation. And experience shows that this formula is very, very correct. And I can say about myself that all those events that seem to be negative even, but in future, they turn to be a positive event. It is by experience. So this formula is very, very correct, and experience is a an all an experience only satisfies the veracity of this formula.
Maulana, I know of a person who works for say around about 12 to 14 hours doing only God's work and is always tensed and always stays in guilt. What formula would you tell that person? What formula will you give that person?
He knows a person
who works for 12 to 14 hours doing God's work and still that person lives in guilt and in tension. So what is your advice to that, for that person?
I think this is correct. I don't know any for such person.
Maulana, I try to do the best I can, but I feel I haven't done enough. So I live in guilt and tension. And he has to face it. So he's asking for advice for me so he doesn't have to face the problem.
Maulana, what she is saying is that she does the work, but then she lives in guilt and tension because she thinks that more needs to be done. She has not done enough. So, and because of that, she lives in tension and guilt, and Navdeep has to face the problem.
You know, you are using a wrong term for a right experience. You are using a wrong term for a right experience. This is not guilty. Don't use word guilty. No. It means that you are asking more help from God, more help from God. You are saying that, oh God, I have done 50%. Rest of 50%, can I do only after your help? So this is not guilty. Don't say that guilty. You are asking more help from God. I experience the same any feeling, but I always take this in this term, not in term of guilt.
Maulana, what you are saying is that it's a wrong term that has been used by her. When you are doing God's work, it is not about guilt for not doing enough. It is, what it actually means is that you've done your bit and you're asking more help from God. So the question of guilt does not arise. It is actually more help that you are seeking from God. So,
I'm right?
Yes.
Am I right?
What I have understood is that I should do my best, and the remaining, just do dua, ke God, please do the rest because this is beyond my capacity now.
What she's understood now is that after doing her bit, she should do dua to God that whatever I could do, I have done. The rest...
That feeling is also a dua. When you feel that you fail to perform your duty, that's a practical dua. That here is my limit. So, oh God, help me further. It is also a practical dua. Without uttering word, you are making a dua. You are registering a dua. So, it is a positive feeling. It is a negative feeling. It is a positive feeling. It is a negative feeling.
Maulana, now one question on behalf of the CPS team. I've heard so many people before you, before I came to the center, and so many after I came to the center. All are confused people. They don't know what they are saying. You are the only person who has given us a formula, or you have taken the confusion out of our minds. Now this thing, this message has to go worldwide. And I feel that only the CPS team is the only team in this world who can do it. Now today we are only depending on internet. Is there anything else which we can do to spread the message across the world?
Ab repeat kya kahun.
Manana, Navdeep is saying that he's asked a question on behalf of CPS. He's saying that you have cleared the confusion of all the people who are CPS members. And he's saying that there is no person other than you who can clear the confusion. The message, your message should go worldwide. And at the moment, CPS is involved doing that through internet. So he is asking you, is there any other way that we should reach out, that you advise us?
That is dua. Dua itself is everything. I think dua is substitute of all of our shortcomings. I myself is a living example. Today I was thinking that I have no sagacity, I have no knowledge, I have no any, I am nothing. Simply I am nothing. Then how it happened that there is a team, there is a family, there are network, there is a international activities. So all these things were result of dua, not due to my any effort. So I am a great believer of power of prayer. I am a great believer of power of prayer. And every day I experience this power. Even the present infrastructure of CPS and present activities of CPS are result of dua. It is my firm belief, it is my conviction. In every day I discover my inability. Every day. Even today I discovered my inability. So I always think how it happened that there is a team, there is a family, there is a infrastructure, there is an intellectual work. How it is? It is due to God. Today I was thinking that when Sarapatma wanted to publish English monthly, Spirit of Islam, I was against this project because I was quite many. It was my belief that this idea is not. She will not be, but realize this idea. It is quite impossible. At that time, this was my mind. But today, I talked over telephone to Sara Fatma. I said that, do you believe that Spirit of Islam will survive? And it will attend self-sufficiency. She says, yes, I'm quite helpful. I'm quite hopeful. So this was due to dua.
What else needs to be done besides internet? You've said that prayer, doing of dua. And you mentioned that that from your own experience, from your own life, you have seen that prayer and dua can do everything. Like you never thought that this infrastructure, this international dawa activities, and so much of dawa work that is happening globally, that you would not have done it on your own, but you used to pray and you used to do dua. So this is the miracle of dua and prayer. And you also cited the example of Sara Fatima, that when she came up with this idea, you thought that it may not work, but it worked very well. And when you asked Sara today that will it survive? She said yes, very much, and that she is very hopeful. So you are saying that there is no substitute for dua and prayer.
People don't know the power of prayer. Why? Because the whole, it is a management. Dua means to invoke a management. Dua means to invoke a divine management. That management is performed by angels. So we are not able to see that management. When we ask a collector, a minister, and he does something, then we do. Then we see that how his work is working, how his word is working. But when we make dua, and that management that is performed by angels is in working, but we don't see. Due to this nature that we are unable to see that management, we always live in doubtful, in doubts. So I'm not in doubt. I am able to see, if you believe. I'm able to see that management, which is handled by angels. So I am a great believer of dua, and I will advise you to do your best and then make dua. Could repeat the job.
Rana, you are saying that in the physical world, when a person does a work, then everybody gets to see it. But this is not how it operates in the dua world. In the dua world, when you do dua or prayer, then you are invoking the divine management. And this divine management is done by angels. So you are saying that one does not see this divine management, and hence that person comes in doubt. But you have the conviction, you are saying about yourself, that when you do dua, then this divine management comes into play. So we should all do dua with the conviction, and we should put in our best, and then do dua, and the divine management will come into play.
Inshallah.
Our work and our message has spread everywhere. Actually, we are disappointed because we don't find the response that we want to. There were several professors in Kabul, 3-4 professors from Pakistan, 1 professor from Australia. So everyone knew ki they had heard or they had read something or the other. And there were, the deputy minister said on stage that I have read his books when I was in Medina and I am his student. So they know, they are not responding. So their response is their उनका काम है, इज देयर प्रॉब्लम. वी आर एवरीवेयर, एवरी वन नोज. वेर एवर यू गो दे नो, वेर एवर आई गो एंड देवर रियली. आई मेट सो मेनी पीपुल इन अफगानिस्तान, इन काबुल, एंड दे न्यू हिम. सो यू कैन सी वेर लव इन सच एन एटमोस्फियर विच इज नॉट ओपन. And then if you go to Pakistan, if you go anywhere else, you will find most of the people know him. They have read some book or the other. They have. So we can't do anything if they don't respond. That is their problem or God's problem.
Malana, Apa is saying that when she went to Afghanistan, then she met people from different countries, from Australia, from Pakistan, and everybody knew about this mission. So she is saying that this mission has spread globally. The reason that we do not see the outcome as we think, it to be. That is because people are not responding. They don't give response. But that is their problem. But otherwise, if you look at from the aspect of mission going global, then whenever we interact with people, they say that they have heard about Maulana and they've heard about the mission.
अच्छा देखिए एक बात मैं उर्दू में कहूंगा आप उसको इंग्लिश में कहिए. देखिए आप कुरान को पढ़ें तो आप ये पाएंगे कि बार बार डिफरेंट तरीके से ये बात कही गई है कि सिर्फ तुम्हारे चाहने से नहीं होगा जब तक खुदा ना चाहे. اللہ شاہ اللہ جس معنی کہ دنیا میں جو کچھ ہم اچیو کرتے ہیں اس میں ہمارا حصہ صرف 50% ہوتا ہے, 50% گاڈ کا ہوتا ہے. ہمارا تشاؤ اللہ شاہ اللہ, یعنی تمہارے چاہنے سے نہیں ہوگا جب تک خدا نہ چاہے. تو میں نے اس پر سوچا کہ ایسا کیوں اللہ نے رکھا, ہمارے چاہنے ہو جاتا, خدا کا چاہنا اس میں شامل کرنا ضروری نہ ہوتا. تو یہ ایک بہت بڑی چیز پر دریافت ہوئی ہے. وہ یہ کہ اللہ کی منشا یہ ہے کہ ہر ایکٹیویٹیز جو دنیا میں ہم کریں, ہر ایکٹیویٹی جو ہے ہمیں ایک وہ چیز دے, جو کہتے ہیں رزق رب. رزق رب یعنی اللہ سے کانٹیکٹ قائم ہونا, یعنی ہر ایکٹیویٹی میں ہم ایک ڈیوائن فوڈ پاتے رہیں, اللہ سے تعلق قائم ہونا, کیونکہ اسی سے ہمارا پرسنالٹی ڈیولپمنٹ ہوتا ہے. اگر ایسا ہوتا کہ صرف ہماری کوشش ہو جاتا اور خدا سے دعا کرنے کی ضرورت نہ ہوتی تو ہمارا پرسنالٹی ڈیولپ بھی نہ ہوتا, وہ تو ہم آرگنٹ میں جانتے ہیں. آرگنٹ بن جاتے ہیں اور آرگنٹ آدمی تو نتھنگ ہوتا ہے. تو یہ بہت بڑی یعنی اللہ تعالی کی بلیسنگ ہے کہ چیزوں کو 50-50 بنا دیا, چیزوں کو 50-50 بنا دیا کہ 50% ہمارا حصہ ہو اور 50% خدا کا حصہ ہو. یعنی جس کو میں ایک بار تو کہا تھا کہ وہ ایک کاغ جیسا ہے, کاغ ایک کاغ میرا ہے ایک کاغ خدا کا ہے. تو خدا کاغ کا طریقہ نہ رکھتا, ایک ہی طریقہ رکھتا کہ ہم چاہیں ہو جائے. تو یہ اللہ تعالی کی کسی پلان ہی کے خلاف ہوتا. اللہ کا منشا ہے کہ اس دنیا میں انسان ہر کام میں رزق رب پائے, یعنی ڈیوائن فوڈ پائے, تاکہ اس کا پرسنالٹی ڈیولپمنٹ ہوتا رہے اور وہ پیراڈائز کے لیے ایک ڈیزرونگ کینڈیڈیٹ بن سکے. اس لیے ایسا رکھا ہے. تو یہ کمی کی بات نہیں ہے, یہ وہی چیز ہے جو خود اللہ کی منشا ہے. ہم دعوی کریں گے تو ایسا ہو نہیں سکتا ہے اکارڈنگ ٹو دا کریشن پلان آف گاڈ کہ ہمارے ہی کہنے سب کچھ ہو جائے. ایسا نہیں ہو سکتا, وہ تو کریشن پلان آف گاڈ ہی نہیں ہے کہ ہمارے سب کچھ ہو جائے. ہماری کوشش سے 50% ہوگا, باقی 50% ہوگا دعا سے. تو دعا سے جو ہوگا وہ دیکھیے, وہ میں نے کہا آپ سے کہ ایک اور پیرلل مینجمنٹ ہے دنیا میں. حدیث میں آتا ہے کہ ہر یعنی اس میں ہے کہ چار انگل کی جگہ ہے, چار انگل جو ہے پر ایک 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 فرشتہ موجود ہے. تو دنیا فرشتوں سے بھری ہوئی ہے, ورنہ دیکھیے جو چیزیں ہو رہی ہیں, چاہے سورج کا نکلنا, ہواؤں کا چلنا, زمین سے غلہ پیدا ہونا, یعنی بلین سے بلین جو ایونٹ ہو رہے ہیں, تو کوئی ایونٹ مینجمنٹ کا تو ہونا چاہیے. تو دیر از اے سیکرٹ ایونٹ مینجمنٹ رن بائی, تو فرشتے جو ہیں وہ ایونٹ مینیجر ہیں, جو اینجلز ہیں وہ سچ مچ ایونٹ مینیجر ہیں انسین ورلڈ کے. سین ورلڈ میں آپ کرتے ہیں انسین ورلڈ کے ایونٹ مینیجر جو ہے وہ اینجلز ہیں. تو یہ جو رکھا اللہ تعالیٰ نے کہ ہم 50% نہیں کر پائیں, 50% ہم نہ کر پائیں تو کیا ہوگا پھر وہاں, تو دیٹ ول لیڈ ٹو دعا. ہم سمجھے کہ یہاں تو کام ہوا نہیں, پورا کام بنا نہیں, تو ہم دعا کریں گے, دعا کریں گے, دعا کریں گے. یہ تو بہت بڑی وژڈم اس کے اندر ہے کہ چیزوں کا ایسا رکھا کہ ہم محسوس کریں کہ ہم تو کر نہیں پائے, ہم تو کر نہیں پائے, تاکہ ہمارے اندر دعا کی اسپرٹ جاگے. تو وہ گلٹ کا مسئلہ ہے ہی نہیں, وہ اس لیے کہ آپ اور دعا کریں اور دعا کریں اور دعا کریں. گلٹ کا ٹرم جو ہے نیگیٹو ٹرم ہے, اس کو یہاں یوز نہیں کرنا چاہیے. یہ اللہ کے پلان ہے کہ ہم تھوڑا کر پائیں اور بقیہ کے لیے ہم اللہ سے دعا کریں, تاکہ وہ جو مینجمنٹ ہے اینجلز کا وہ ایکٹیو ہو جائے اور وہ اس کو پورا کر دے. آپ بتائیے کچھ جو آپ
مولانا, واٹ یو جسٹ ٹولڈ آل آف اس واز دیٹ ان قرآن اٹ از مینشنڈ دیٹ سمپلی اف یو وانٹ اور ڈیزائر اے تھنگ یو ول ناٹ گیٹ اٹ اور اٹ ول ناٹ ہیپن انٹل گاڈ وانٹس اٹ ٹو ہیپن. اینڈ دین یو مینشنڈ مولانا دیٹ وی آل ہیو ٹو کانٹریبیوٹ وٹ ایور وی ڈو وٹ ایور ایکٹیویٹیز وی ڈو آر کانٹریبیوشن از اونلی 50% فار اٹ ٹو come into result. The balance 50% is contributed by God. So you often thought that why is it that a person's share is only 50%? Why is it that we cannot be responsible for that entire 100%? So you discovered that it is God's plan, that he wants it to be in such a way that when a person does his contribution and is unable to get the result, he goes into dua after doing his bit, and his dua basically invokes the divine management, and this brings the help of angels who does the remaining work. So this feeling of helplessness is what God wants every person to undergo through, because this feeling of helplessness leads to personality development. And you are saying that personality
through dua.
And this personality development makes him a contender for paradise. So all this is divinely planned, that a person feels the helplessness, and therefore it is not a matter of guilt that I am unable to do the 100%. It is actually God's plan to raise or elevate a person's personality so that he qualifies for paradise.
So this is I have another point, but I just want to say that guilt is true only when we can do and we are not doing. It is not true that we are not able to do, then it does not apply into that situation. So another thing, I want one clarity on this, that suppose I have taken the message to someone who is, suppose he was a professor, he has his family members, he has his friends, he has his own circle. So if he has understood, if we have taken him the message right and he has understood, so isn't he responsible for spreading it in his own circle? Or we have to give to each and everyone, we have to take the message to each and every member, every friend, every his family member, or he himself is responsible. If he himself is responsible, then we have almost taken the message everywhere. And it is because they are not doing their bit. They are not fulfilling their responsibility. So this is the problem. So what should be our stand?
Asked you a question, and before that she made a comment on the guilt part. She said the important thing that we should understand is that the feeling of guilt comes because we can do, but we are not able to do, and it is not for those that who don't want to do. So this is an essential difference. Manana, guilt comes into play when a person is doing the dawa work, But is
so, the person is not doing the dawah which he can do.
Kya apa?
No, dekhe. Don't use the word guilt. It is a negative word. Use the word sense of dissatisfaction. It is not guilt. It is sense of dissatisfaction. And sense of dissatisfaction is a positive sign. Because sense of dissatisfaction always lead to develop your personality in a better way. Sense of dissatisfaction. I read an article about super achievers in Reader's Digest. About superachievers. The writer says that all the superachievers were living in a sense of dissatisfaction. All the superachievers were living in sense of dissatisfaction. So dissatisfaction is like a boost. It is a boosting factor. But so don't use the word guilt, but use the word of sense of dissatisfaction. Is it clear?
Mulana, you are saying that the word guilt is a wrong word to be used. The correct word is dissatisfaction. And then you said that you read about this book which was for super achievers. And you said that most of these people who achieved a lot in their life, they were dissatisfied people because dissatisfaction gave them a boost to achieve
more and more.
To achieve more and more. So, we should not use the word guilt, but we should use the word dissatisfaction. Manana Apa asked you a question. She said that when we take the message to a person, then, and if that person understands the message, then is this the responsibility of that person to further spread that message in his circle? And if yes, then we've been able to reach out to many people. But because that person is not able to spread the message, then is it our responsibility to reach out to each and all? So,
no.
What is our stand on
that? It's responsibility of those persons who got the message of the Quran and they failed to convey it to the other persons. It is their responsibility. No one, even Prophet, were able to reach to all the persons. There is a verse in the Quran, Leunzarikum bhi vam balak. So, Prophet, this is a verse, Quranic verse, Leunzarikum bhi vam balak. So, it means that Prophet conveyed his message to some person and it was their duty to convert their message to others. This is the natural process.
So, Mulana, then she said that does that mean that we have reached to the whole world because we have given message to...
Some people directly or some people indirectly?
Indirectly. Huh?
We will reach some people directly and to some people indirectly. In this sense that it was their duty. If they failed, then they will be punished.
One professor from Sydney University had come there in the program. So I gave him the Prophet of Peace and I asked him, so he said that I have started reading it. And then if suppose he understands the message, then it becomes his duty to spread it in his own circle. So in this way, suppose we have reached the whole circle.
Maulana, as answering Navdeep's this thing that do we only have to work on the internet? It is my experience that this is God's mission. We are only the face of it and God is managing through angels. So, whatever we are doing, in terms of internet or anything, we continue to do. And I feel what we need to do more is whatever response that we get from people through the internet or anything else, we plan and execute that better. You had said once that CPS, what CPS lacks right now is planning. So I want you to explain that a little more in terms of what CPS can do in planning. You said we lack in that.
Manas is saying that to the question that Navdeep asked on the internet, that what else needs to be done. She is saying that this is divine's mission, this is God's mission, and we are the face of the mission, CPS members. And whatever work that is being done is done with the help of the angels. So she is saying that you had once mentioned that what CPS lacks is planning. So she is saying whatever responses that we get through internet medium, we should be able to plan and execute those responses. So what is your advice to CPS in terms of planning? Because that is where you think that we lack.
So I am not expert of this field. I only can make dua. Planning is upon you, not upon me. Because I am not expert of this field. So, I can make dua and you, inshallah, will be able to perform it and plan it.
Mulana, I would like to answer that question. I mean, what I feel is that when we started this CPS mission and we started working, we had no clue how to go about it. But with your dua and with God's help, we've been able to do a lot of, we've been able to achieve something at least. So we should keep on doing what we are doing, and I feel God will open new avenues and ways and show us the way that this is where you can work or this is where you are lacking behind. Because today also, I think God has only guided us towards whatever we are doing to till now. It is not our planning, it is God's planning, but we are somehow or the other, it comes into our minds and we start performing the things.
You are right.
In our worldly jobs, we plan, we take every aspect into consideration, we plan to the last extent. We should try to do that more for CPS, though we are doing. But together in terms of teamwork or whatever, we should try to plan and execute more, just as we do our in other ways.
We all are working people. So she is saying that in our working world, in our corporate world, we plan and do things. So similarly, we should plan in the mission also. And we should be able to take this mission forward with the planning. We should incorporate the same way that we plan in our corporate life. We should plan in the CPS mission also.
Yes, you are right. I will add one of my experience. It relates to Hyderabad. Hyderabad was the first place in our mission. In the beginning, Hyderabad was the number one place in our mission. But then there was some setback, and the whole mission at Hyderabad was jeopardized. So I think that now it is impossible for us to continue our mission in Hyderabad. This was my mind. But after this Hyderabad beat, there was a new emergence without my effort, without any effort on my side. A new emergence, and now according to my any information, any, some people were able to recognize our mission in Hyderabad. And it is any very good news I received from Hyderabad that it is better than the past. In the present situation, is better than the that it was in the past. So it all happened through dua. As far as myself is concerned, I never did anything. Even it was out of my mind that that our mission will revive in Hyderabad. But now it is in a very better position. They are organizing library, weekly meeting, and dawa work, everything. So I am great believer of power of dua, and this is our strength. Dua is our strength.
I was just thinking that we get disappointed only because we are seeing individually, that individually I am not able to do much work. But we have to take collectively. Everyone, that the work is being done by so many people. Like Sarasnan told me today that 10,000 copies of the Quran has been sent to Israel for distribution among the tourists. So we have to take into account all these works being done by all the CPS members. Then we will not be disappointed.
Maulana, I have a question. Maulana, why is it that we face problems while doing mission work? Is it that we are lacking in dua?
Maulana Stuti is asking that why is it that we face problem when we are doing mission work? Is it because we are lacking in dua?
Not lacking. It is not a question of lacking. No. It is due to the creation plan of God. God always creates some problem only to invoke the spirit of dua in your personality. It is a very good sign. Don't take it in a negative way. When you feel that here we are helpless, you cannot do anything, so it means that God wants you to invoke the spirit of dua. To invoke the spirit of dua. So you have to engage yourself in dua. And that you will see, inshallah, that everything was done by the angels. Aap wo kisa bataiye, jo hum log ja rahe the, humne kaha ki itna sa bundle ka hoga, to humne kaha ki it is angels, aur sab ho gaya, usko bataiye isko sir, ki hum log kahan ja rahe the.
Sabko pata hai.
नहीं बताइए उसके सब बहुत
जी
दिल्ली एयरपोर्ट पर याद नहीं है
जी मौलाना याद है वी वर हेडिंग टुवर्ड्स
उसको रिपीट
मौलाना इन वन ऑफ द इनविटेशन सेंड टू यू फॉर अ इंटर फेथ डायलॉग वी वर गोइंग टू पोलैंड एंड एट द इंटरनेशनल एयरपोर्ट व्हेन वी वर स्टैंडिंग इन द क्यू टू चेक इन ऑल द बैगेज we found out that we were carrying excess baggage. And you said that, what are we going to do? How will this work out? So then to that I said that that's angel problem. And we found out, Maulana, that with that we started doing dua, that the lady who was before us and who had excess baggage of some 7-8 kilos, she was asked to remove the belongings from her luggage, and the lady at the counter did not relent. She said, no, you have to reduce, you are having excess baggage. But when our turn came, while we were doing dua and all, we were more than that excess baggage than that lady. But still the counter lady, she said that you are excess baggage, but she checked in all the baggage without asking us to remove even 1 gram of belonging. So this is the power of dua.
There are so many such examples. There are so many such examples. Bas go.
Khatam session.